Tonight's shir is a yahrzeit shir in memory of my daughter, Abby Ginsburg, and the shir is going to take up a Pesach topic. The title is Celebrating the Downfall of Evil. So tonight we're going to look at one of the Agadotas that's brought down in Megillah and Sanhedrin, and it's a rather complex area, but I think interesting, and we'll try to look through the area, and I'll show you that there's a tremendous amount of contradictions and questions. And hopefully we'll come to some deep insight about celebrating the downfall of evil, which is also tied into Pesach, and you'll see how it's tied into Pesach. So the shir is going to start with Gemara Sanhedrin, Daf Lamed Tes Amud Beis, and it's source number one on the source sheets. And I'm going to read through this this Agadotah at first. It's an interesting Agadotah. So if we look in source number one, it says as follows. It says, Vayavur harino b'machane. So the song, or the happiness, it passed in the camp. So Amar Rabbi Acha Bar Chanina. Rabbi Acha Bar Chanina said, Ba'avod Rishayim Rina. There's another pasuk in Mishle which says that when the Rishayim, when the wicked are destroyed, there is song, there is happiness. And what is that referring to? Ba'avod Achav Ben Omri Rina. When Achav, the son of Omri, when he died, there was a great happiness in the world. And there was great happiness. So if you look in Rashi, in source number two, Rashi says, Vayavur harina, that the song, or the song passed through the machane. It says, Midalok siv rina. It doesn't say rina, it says harina. Mashma harina hamyuchedesh, shahaisa asido lovo. So the pasuk implies that this was a planned, a pre-planned happiness that would come about in the future. Shikvar huskara, which was already mentioned. Vehechan huskara, where was it mentioned? Ba'avod rishaim rina. In Mishle, it says, when the wicked fall down, there is song. V'hayah olam mitzape masai tavo harina. The whole entire world were waiting as to when this song would emerge. Ivudo shel Achav. When Achav died, there was this great song. Ukshinerog, when he was killed, avra v'huskara harina b'fiakol. So there was happiness amongst everybody. So the beginning of the Agadotah talks about how there is this happiness that everybody was waiting for. And when did the happiness emerge? When this Russia, this wicked king, Achav, this Melech Yisrael, was finally killed, so there's a great happiness amongst all. So the Gemara attacks this. It says, Umi chadi kudsha brichu b'mapaloson shel Rishayim. And who says that Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is happy at the destruction, at the downfall of the wicked? So the Gemara's question is that the Gemara is assuming that there's a happiness, there's a great song and praise, and that includes HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the Gemara asks, what do you mean? Who says that there's happiness when Hashem, who says that Hashem experiences or feels happiness at the destruction of the wicked? Haksiv, so there's a bunch of proofs against that. Haksiv, Betzeis Lefnei HaChalutz, V'omrim, Hodu LaHashem, Ki Le'olam Chasdo. When Yehoshaphat, who was one of the kings, went against the Ammonim and the Moavim, he gave praise to Hashem at their destruction. And he says, Hodu LaHashem, Ki Le'olam Chasdo. Give thanks to Hashem, for His kindness is forever. The Amar Rabbi Yonasan, and Rabbi Yonasan said, Mifnei ma lo namar behoda zu kitov. Why in this thanks, this praise, do we not say kitov? Normally we say hodu l'Hashem kitov, ki l'olam chasdo. But in the praise of Yehoshaphat, it just says hodu l'Hashem ki l'olam chasdo. So why is it missing the fact that Hashem is good? Lefish ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu sameach b'mapaloson shel Rishayim. Because Hashem is not happy at the downfall of the wicked. And also, there's another proof, and this is related to Pesach. The Amar Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachman Amar Rabbi Yonasan, Mai Dechsev V'lo Karav Ze El Ze Kol Alayla. So when the Jews were escaping Egypt and they were going into Yamsuf, it says that the Malachim, the angels, did not approach each other all night. But Osa Shah, this is a famous medrash. But Osa Shah Bikshu Malachi Asharis Lomar Shira Lefnei Kadosh Baruch Hu. At that moment, the Malachim wanted to say Shira. They wanted to sing before Hashem. Amar lehen HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ma'aseh yadai tovin b'yam, ve'atem omrim shira lefanai, that the work of my hands is drowning in the sea, meaning the mitrium, and you want to say shira? So there's another proof that HaKadosh Baruch Hu isn't so happy when Rishayim are destroyed, when the wicked are destroyed. And then finally, there's one last point. Amar Rabbi Yossi bar Chanina, Hu eno sas aval cherem mesis. So Hashem himself isn't happy, but he causes others to be happy when Rishayim are destroyed. Deka nami dechsiv yasis v'lo ksiv yasus shmamina. And there's a pasuk which also implies that Hashem himself isn't happy, but he causes happiness to others. The pasuk is in Devarim, and it says, "V'haya kasher sas Hashem leitiv eschem ularbos eschem, ken yasis Hashem aleichem lahavid eschem." That just as Hashem is happy in making you wealthy and providing the good for you, so too, if you're a Rasha and you don't follow in Hashem's name, he'll be happy in your destruction. He won't be happy, but he'll cause others to be happy. Okay, so this is an interesting medrash. So the medrash in Sanhedrin, just to summarize up to this point, the medrash talks about the destruction of evil people, and the medrash assumes at the beginning that Hashem is happy when the evil is destroyed. Kamash Malan, the Gemara says, no, he's not happy. He's not happy at the destruction of the wicked. So, of course, the first question is, why not? So one question that we can start to shear on is, why isn't Hashem happy at the destruction of the wicked? Why isn't he happy? He should be happy. And another question, which we can start with, is you see that the Jews were very happy. So they sing Az Yashir when the Mitzrayim were killed. So is there something wrong with being happy when evil is destroyed? So the two questions on the Medrash are, one, why isn't Hashem happy at the destruction of the wicked? So you're telling me when the Nazis were destroyed, or when evil people, when ISIS is destroyed, Hashem isn't happy? Why not? And also, should we be happy? Is it appropriate for us to be happy? So those are the questions that we're going to ask. But I think there's a more fundamental question on the Medrash. And hopefully everybody agrees with this, not sure nowadays, but there's a Rambam in Hilchos Yesodei HaTorah, Parak Aleph, Halacha Yud Aleph, in source number 3. And the Rambam says, the Chevon, he's talking about the corporeality, the physical aspects of Hashem, and he says, V'chevon, and the lack of physicality, V'chevon sh'nizbarer she'eno guf u'gvia, so once we understand that Hashem has no body and no form, so hopefully everybody accepts that, yizbarer, Shelo yera lo echad mima'oros hagufos. So nothing physical occurs to Hashem. Lo chibur velo pirud. He's never connected and he's never separated. Lo makom velo mida. He has no place and he has no measurement. Lo aliyah velo yirida. Hashem does not go up nor does he go down. Velo yamin velo smol. He has no right and no left. Velo panim velo achor. He has no front and no back. Velo yeshiva velo amida. There is no sitting and there is no standing. Ve'eno matzoi bizman ad shiyelo reishis acharis uminyan shanim. He has no age, and he's not found in time. Ve'eno mishtana she'enlo davar shiyagrom lo shinoi. He does not change at all. There is no change in God, and nothing can cause him to change. Ve'enlo mavis velo chayim kechaye haguf achay. He has no death, and he has no life. Velo sichlus velo chachma. He's not foolish, nor is he wise. Kechachma sa'isha chacham, the way that a man is wise. Lo shina velo hikitza. He doesn't go to sleep, nor does he rise. Velo kaas, velo schok, velo simcha, velo atzvos. Nor does Hashem ever have any anger, and nor does he ever laugh. He has no happiness, and he has no sadness. Velo shesika, velo dibor, kedibor bnei adam. He's not quiet, nor does he speak like man. Vechach amru chacham in lamala, lo yeshiva, velo amida, velo oref, velo ifoy. So there is no physical aspects to HaKadosh Baruch Hu at all. So if you look in the Rambam carefully, the Rambam says that Hashem doesn't get angry. And we know that in the Torah, when the Torah tells us that Hashem is angry, it's not a real anger, but it's just to teach us an idea, to teach us a lesson. And so too, he's never laughing, he's never happy. So when the Gemara, so now the question emerges. So the first question that we had was, why doesn't Hashem gain any happiness or satisfaction when the Rishayim are destroyed? And the second question, which is a more fundamental question in understanding any medrash about Hashem, is that there's no such thing as Hashem's happiness. Hashem doesn't actually experience any happiness because he's not physical and he has no emotions. So because we know that Hashem doesn't have emotions, so what does the Gemara mean in source number 1 that Hashem is not happy when the Rishayim are destroyed? He's never happy. Hashem can never be happy because he has no emotions. So what's that idea? What concept is the Medrash trying to teach us about Hashem if we know for a fact that he doesn't experience any happiness? Okay? So those are the questions. And then finally, there's one more point here, and then we'll start getting into the various contradictions and hopefully put everything together for some analysis. So if you look in source number 4, there's also a famous concept. They didn't bring down the Rambam so that people don't think I'm partial to the Rambam, but it's actually Gemara. The Rambam brings this down as well. In source number 4, the Gemara is in Shabbos, Kuf Lamed Gimel Amud Biz, and the Gemara says like this, Abba Shol Omer V'Anvehu. So the Pasuk in Oz Yashir, once again tied back to Pesach, says Ve'anvehu hevidomelo. And this teaches us, Zekeli Ve'anvehu teaches us that we have to be similar to him. Mahu chanun v'rachum, af ata haya chanun v'rachum. So just like he has charm and favor and he's merciful, so too we should act in the same manner. And Rashi says like this in source number 5, Hevi domelo v'lashon anvehu anivahu, ese atzmi kimbosto l'dabek bedrachav, that we should try to emulate HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So there's a principle that Hashem doesn't experience any emotions, but we're supposed to emulate him, and the purpose of the Torah teaching us about various aspects of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is so that we emulate him, and we act in the same manner, and we act in line with Hashem. So does this mean, so now the question is, does this mean that when we witness the destruction of evil, when we witness the destruction of the Mitzrayim, the destruction of the Nazis, the destruction of ISIS, anybody who you'd consider evil, and you could fill in the blanks, are we not supposed to be happy? Are we supposed to emulate HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Is that the purpose of this Medrash over here? So that's another question that we're going to start with, we're going to start to share with. Okay, so let me just summarize up to this point. We saw this Medrash with various proofs that teach us that Hashem isn't exactly happy when the Risharim are destroyed, when wicked people are destroyed, and our question was, why not? He should be happy. You would think that he would be happy. The second question is, Hashem doesn't have emotions. So if Hashem doesn't have emotions, so what does it mean that he's not happy? He's never happy. We never say that he's actually happy. So what is this idea? And third of all, if this is trying to teach us something, are we supposed to imitate this? Are we supposed to not feel happiness when the Rishayim are destroyed? But yet we see factually that when the Mitzrayim were destroyed, we sing Az Yashir, we were happy. So is that wrong? What's the idea of emulating? Is there an idea of emulating Kadosh Baruch Hu in this manner? So those are the questions, right? Okay, so now we're just going to get started here with some breakdowns of this Medrash. So it's source number six. I skipped the source. And source number six would seem to indicate that there is an idea of emulation of a Kadosh Baruch Hu in this Medrash. And if you look in source number six, it's that Avos. Hold on, give me one second. So source number six is Maseches Avos, Pirkei Avos, Perek Dalet, Mishnah Yates. And it says like this, Shmuel HaKatan Omer, Bin Fol Oyvecha Al Tismach Uvikoshlo Al Yagel Libecha Pen Yira Hashem V'Rabbeina V'Hishiv Me'alav Apo. Okay, so Shmuel HaKatan used to say this pasuk all the time. It was somehow he would walk around and he'd be saying this pasuk, and the pasuk says, Bin Fol Oyvecha Al Tismach Uvikoshlo Al Yageli Becha. When your enemy falls, do not rejoice. And when he stumbles, let your heart not exult. Pen Yira Hashem V'Rabbeina V'Hishiv Me'alav Apo. That's another pasuk. Lest Hashem see you and be displeased, and he turn your wrath away from you, away from him to you. So the Shmuel HaKatan used to say this. So in Avos, we have this idea, which seems to be in line with the Gemara and Sanhedrin, that we're not supposed to be happy when our enemies are falling, or fall down, or destroyed. And the Pasuk in Mishlei, which Shmuel HaKatan, he wanted to remember all the time, he would walk around saying this Pasuk, teaches us that we shouldn't be happy when the wicked fall and their downfall. And in fact, it says that if you are happy, you might be punished, and Hashem might turn his wrath against you. So that would seem to prove, or be a proof for a raya, that this Gemara in Sanhedrin and this Agadata is teaching us that we should not be happy when we witness or when we see the wicked fall. Correct? So that would be the first point. But then I'm going to show you that there's other Gemaras and other sources where we say differently than that, and we argue with that point, that concept. So in source number 7, there's a story about tie into Purim. There's a story about Mordechai, and I think I did this, I gave a shiur on this a while ago, a couple years ago. And the Gemara in source number 7 says like this, it's Megillah Daf Tez Zayin Amud Aleph. And the Gemara says, Amr Le, so this is the whole story with Haman having to drag Mordechai through the city at the behest of Achashverosh. It says, Amr Le Sok V'Rachav. So Haman said to Mordechai, get up on this horse and we'll ride the horse. I'll drag you around. Amar le, so Mordechai said back to Haman, Lo yechilna, I can't get up to the horse. De kechisha chilai mimei ta'anisa. I'm very weak from all my fasting. So Mordechai says, listen, Haman, buddy, I can't get up to on the horse. I can't do it. I'm too weak. So gachin v'salik. So Haman had to bend down, and Mordechai stepped on Haman's back to get onto the horse. Kisalik bought bay. So what happened was when Mordechai got up and he stepped on Haman, he kicked him. He kicked him. He gave him a little kick. And it says, Amar Leh. So he said back to him, so Hama knew Torah. And he said, Lok Siv L'chu, Lok Siv L'chu bin Fol Oyvecha Al Tismach, Oyivcha Al Tismach. Does it not say to with regard to you that when the enemies fall down, you should not be happy? So Haman, he knew this pasuk in Mishlei, and he says, listen, is it really appropriate for you, Mordechai, to be happy at my downfall? It says in the pasuk in Mishlei that you're not supposed to be happy when the wicked fall. So Amar Leh, so he said back to him, Mordechai said back to him, Hani Mili Bi Yisrael, that's only when another Jew who's wicked falls. That's when you're not supposed to be happy. Aval B'didchu K'siv, but with regard to you, with, I guess, a non-Yisrael, with regard to you, it says, V'ata al bamosinu tidroch, that with regard to you, on your high places, you should tread. So Mordechai, there's this weird exchange in Megillah, and the exchange is that Mordechai, he decides to kick Haman when he's going up on Haman's back to get onto the horse, and Haman says, what do you mean? You're not supposed to be happy. You're not supposed to be happy at the downfall of the wicked. And Mordechai makes a distinction. He says, no, that really, I'm not supposed to be happy at the downfall of the Jews wicked, at the Yisrael is wicked, but with regard to you, so I can be happy. In fact, I'm supposed to tread on you. I'm supposed to walk on you and step on you. So now we see a question. So I don't know if that, hopefully everybody sees the question. But originally, the Gemara in Sanhedrin says that Hashem is not happy at the destruction of the wicked. And he brings down one of the proofs is from the Mitzrayim, the non-Jews, the Mitzrayim, who were destroyed at Yamsuf, and Hashem is not happy. And then we saw a principle that we're supposed to emulate. Perhaps we're supposed to emulate Hashem, and we're also not supposed to be happy. And Shmuel HaKatan used to say, don't be happy when the wicked fall down. But now we see in Megillah that no, it's limited. It's only limited to the Jew. So that's a contradiction to our Gemara in Sanhedrin, because in Sanhedrin, Hashem was not happy at the downfall of the Mitzrayim, who were non-Jews, who were not Jews. But yet, when it comes to us, it seems like there's a limitation that we're allowed to be happy at the destruction of the non-Jew, but we're not allowed to be happy at the destruction of the Jew. So, of course, the question is, what's the difference between the Jew and the non-Jew with regard to this? Is it a problem? Is it not a problem to be happy when the wicked fall? And second of all, you see in the Gemara and Sanhedrin earlier that Hashem wasn't happy at the destruction of the Mitzrayim. So why don't we apply that to the destruction of Haman? Why didn't Haman just say, listen, Hashem wasn't happy at the destruction of the Mitzrayim. Why should you be happy at the destruction of me? So that's another question. So those are the questions. So you see how there's a contradiction, hopefully. If anybody wants me to repeat it or have a question, just like stop me in the middle, okay? So again, go ahead.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah.
It's his response. It's the fact that he's angry, maybe, or that they were dying in this room because of the reaction that the malachim had when they were singing or something. Maybe that's the...
Yeah. So he says that the malachim shouldn't sing. So we see from there that Hashem isn't happy when the Mitzrayim were destroyed. He says, "Masei yadav tovin bayam ve'atem omrim shira," that the handiwork. Is being drowned in the sea, and you're saying Shira. So we see that Hashem wasn't happy at the destruction of the Mitzrayim, and that's why he stops the Malachim from singing Shira. But it's over there, there's no distinction between Jew and non-Jew, because you see that Hashem was certainly not happy when the Mitzrayim, who are non-Jews, were destroyed. But yet by Mordechai, when Mordechai speaks to Haman, he says, oh, because you're not a Yisrael, I'm allowed to be happy at your destruction. But if it were Yisrael, I couldn't be happy at their destruction. So why not? What's the difference between the two? And also, it's a contradiction to our Gemara. Why Hashem wasn't happy at the destruction of non-Jews? So too Mordechai shouldn't be happy at the destruction of Haman. He should limit himself. So that's the question. Okay. Okay. So one more point. In source number 8, this is actually a very interesting halachic point, and it's also, I guess it's a Yortzeit shir, so there's a tie-in also to Avelis. So you got everything here. You have Purim, Pesach, Avelis. So there's a tie-in to Halacha and Avelis that I remembered, but it really drives home a question, another big question on this idea. So if you look in the Rambam in Hilchos Deos, this is a famous Rambam. So the Rambam says, Kol Hasone, it's Perek Vav Halacha Hei, Kol Hasone Echad Mi Yisrael Belibo Over Belo Sase, Shenemar Lo Sisna Esachicha Bilvavecha. So anybody who hates another Jew in his heart, he's violating a prohibition in the Torah, as it says that you should not hate your brethren in your heart. The ein lokin alav zeh lefi shein bo masa, but you don't get malchus, you don't get punished because there's no action, and that's a general principle. V'lo hishira Torah ela al sina shibalev that there's only a warning about sin, a hatred in your heart. Aval hamakes chavero v'hamacharfo afal pisha eno rishai eno over mishum lo sisna. But if you hit your friend, you're not over. You don't violate the prohibition of not hating your brother. Fine. So the Rambam sets up in Deos that there's a halacha that you're not allowed to hate your brother Yisrael, which seems to be in line with the idea that Mordechai was saying that you can't be happy at the destruction of a Jew. When a wicked Jew is destroyed, you can't be happy, and it kind of makes sense because you're not allowed to hate another Jew, and there's a prohibition against that. But the Rambam is not so simple, because if you go to Avelis, there's an interesting halacha, and it's very rarely followed nowadays, but in source number 9, the Rambam in Hilchos Avel, Perek Beis Lachavav, the Rambam says like this, Kama, just setting up the halachos, Kama chamura mitzvahs Avelis. First he talks about how strict the mitzvah of Avelis of mourning is. Sharei nidches lo atuma mipnei krovav, kedeshis asek iman v'yisabel lehen. So the Kohen has to be mitame. He has to come in contact with a dead body because he has to mourn for them. Shenemar kim l'sheira karovilav le'imo lo yitama mitzvah sase she'im lo ratza li'tame mitamen osa al-karcho. It's a mitzvah for the Kohen to become a tame mace through his karov, through his relative, that you have to become tamei. And in fact, we force the Kohen to become tamei if he doesn't want to. And that's how chamor, that's how strict Avelis is. He says, "Bamed var mamurim." When is this the case? Bizcharim shehuzeru alatuma by the male kohanim who have an isser to become tamei. A male Kohen is not allowed to become tamei actively. He can't be in contact with a dead body. But when it comes to a relative, you're chayev to. But a female Kohen, a female who's the daughter of a Kohen, there's no mitzvah for her to become Tameh because there's no warning against her becoming Tameh. She can if she wants to, but she's not chayiv to. So there's Avelis is very strict, and Avelis demands that the Kohen, who's normally usher to become Tameh, he must become Tameh. But then if you look in source number 10, the Rambam says like this: Kol a portion midarchei tzibur vehema anashim sheparku ol mitzvos me'al tzavaron. Any individual who decides that he doesn't want to be Jewish anymore and he just says that I'm not keeping the mitzvos, ve'ein nichlalin bechlal Yisrael ba'asiyas ha-mitzvos uvekavod ha-mo'ados, and he doesn't include himself in the doing of mitzvos, nor does he keep the mo'ados, the chagim, v'yeshivas batei knesios uvate medrashos. He doesn't go to shul. He doesn't go to the base medrash. So this is talking about a non-affiliated Jew. So any non-affiliated Jew, a person who's decided actively that I don't want to be Jewish anymore, and he doesn't go to shul ever, he doesn't go on Yom Kippur, he has no relationship. Ela harehein kivnei chorin la'atzman, they feel that they consider themselves free, they're free individuals. Kishar ha'umos, like the rest of the nations. V'chein ha'apikorsim, and so too the heretics, v'hamumrim, v'hamosrin. And the mumrim are a different type of heretic, and the mosrin are the Jews that give up their fellow Jew to be killed. Kol elu ein misablin alehen. So all of these, we're not misabel. Ela acheim ushar krovim lovshin levanim umisatvim levanim veochlim veshosim usmeichim. Shari avdu sonav shal kadosh baruch hu valeim akasim omer halomis anecha Hashem esna. So not only in that case, when we have heretics or we have individuals who aren't Jewish at all, or Mosrin, not only are we not chayiv to be misabel, but we're chayiv. It says that the relatives have to put on white clothes and they have to eat and drink and be happy. It says usmeichem. Why? Because it's the people. It says the pasuk says halom misanecha Hashem esna, that those who hate Hashem, I will hate as well. So the Rambam says interestingly, he talks about how chamor avelis is, but he says that when we come to a Jew who's a heretic, who's an apikores, who doesn't keep the religion at all, who decides to throw off the ol of Torah, so he says, not only are we not chayav to be misabel, but it's the opposite. We're chayav to be sameach. And you have to wear nice clothes, and you have to drink, and you have to eat. And even in source number 11, which is the Rambam Perek Beis Alachaches, he says, V'chein kol osan she'amru she'in misablin alein kegon haruge beistin u'shapirshu midarche tzibor v'hanafilin v'hama'aved atzmo das. So all those people who were not misabel for, ain a kohen mitame lehen. So too, the kohen is not allowed to be mitame. So let's say an example. Let's say I'm a kohen. So let's say one of my relatives is not religious or he's a heretic. Not only am I not chayv to mourn for them, but I have to have a party in my house and I have to wear white clothes, and I have to be happy, and I have to eat and drink, and I cannot become tame to that individual, to that relative of mine. So now we see a further complication to this idea of celebrating the downfall of the wicked, because we see that even by a Jew, the Rambam says that even by a Jew who is wicked, who we would consider an apikoros, a person who doesn't keep Torah, so we're chayev to be sameach when they fall, when they die. Not only are we not chayev to be misabel, but we're chayev to be happy and drink. And he says we're supposed to drink and eat and wear white clothes. So now we have a big problem. We have a huge problem now because there's a number of issues that arise. So let me just summarize. So we saw in the beginning of this year that the Gemara tells us that Hashem isn't happy at the downfall of the wicked. And we see that primarily from the case of the Mitzrayim, that the Mitzrayim were drowning and Hashem prevents the Malachim from singing Shira. So we see that he wasn't so happy. So we said, okay, maybe we'll emulate that. Maybe the idea is Hashem doesn't have emotion, so maybe the idea is to teach us to emulate him. And we saw that in Avos we're supposed to. We're not supposed to be happy at the downfall of the wicked. But wait a minute. We see by Mordechai that Mordechai says we are allowed to be when it comes to a non-Jew. But when it comes to Yisrael, we're not allowed to be. So now that's a problem. That's a contradiction with the first Gemara because Hashem wasn't happy at the destruction of the Mitzrayim. And also, furthermore, it's a problem as to what's the difference between a Jew and a non-Jew. And then finally, we see in the Rambam in Avelis that even by a Jew, we're supposed to be happy when a wicked Jew dies, that we're not supposed to be Mesabel for them, and we're supposed to be happy and we're supposed to celebrate their death. So which one is it? So are we supposed to be happy when a wicked person dies, regardless, is it only a Jew, is it a non-Jew as well? And or are we not supposed to be happy like Hashem? So are we supposed to emulate Hashem and do like Avo says, and we're supposed to not be happy at the downfall of the wicked? Or are we supposed to be happy like Mordechai was at the downfall of Haman? Or like we're commanded to, and the halachos that brought down by the Rambam based on the Gemara are that we're supposed to be happy when a Jew who's evil, who's wicked, dies, we're not supposed to mourn them, and we're supposed to be happy. So which one is it? What's the answer? Anybody have an answer? Wait, one more point before we get to the idea. So one last point. So the Gemara in source number 22 in Brachos Daf Tesam Abayz says as follows, the Amar of Yehuda Bereder of Shimon ben Pazi, Mea Ushlosh Parshios Amar David. There were 103 paragraph Parshios that David said. Velo Amar Haluka, and he didn't say praise Hashem. Ad Shara'a B'mapalatan Shel Rishayim, until he saw the destruction, the downfall of Rishayim, of the wicked. Shneamar Yitomu Chata'im in Aretz Rishayim Odeinam Barchi Nafshias Hashem Haluka. So it says that the wicked, the sinner, should be removed and erased from this earth, and there should be no more wicked. Barchi nafshi is Hashem, praise Hashem, bless Hashem, and my soul for Hashem is praiseworthy. And he says Hallelujah at the very end. So we see from this Gemara that it's good. It sounds like it's a good thing to praise the downfall of the wicked, to be happy, and to praise Hashem at the downfall of the wicked. So again, there's so many contradictions here. We have Gemaras and ideas that seem to indicate that we should not be happy when the wicked are destroyed, regardless of whether they're Jewish or non-Jewish. And then there's others that say we should be happy regardless of whether they're Jewish or they're non-Jewish. Like the Rambam says that even if they're Jewish and they're wicked, we should be happy. We should not only should we not mourn, but we should be happy. So which one, the question that we have in this year to answer is like, which one is it? And what's the purpose of the original Medrash? And maybe we could tie it into Pesach. Okay? Anybody have a possibility before we get to the answer? Does anybody want to try a possibility? Okay, so just stop me if you want to try a possibility to answer the contradictions. Go ahead. And when are you not allowed to? When are you not allowed to be happy?
And I guess in a situation where it's not clear why this person was evil, or I'm not sure.
Okay.
I'm kind of playing with it, but in a situation where someone you have heard is evil or did one bad thing, it wasn't like outwardly trying to destroy the world or destroy all the Jews, you know?
Okay. All right. Okay. Good. I mean, I think that there's going to be... I like the approach. I think your approach is going to be similar. Obviously, you're going to have to say that it's not one or the other, but there are situations where it's appropriate. There are situations where it's not appropriate. So I think that's definitely... And there's... Right, so I definitely think that that's the approach. I had a different move. I had a different idea, but I think the approach to answering it has to be somewhat along those lines. You can't take a side, a definitive side, but I agree with that. So if we look in...
Each situation could be different, right?
Yes, yeah. So each situation could be different. But I think there's a universal idea. There's an idea that I'll show you. I'll show you through the answer. But I think there's an idea that exists. But it'll dictate when it's appropriate or what's appropriate and what's not appropriate. I agree. Okay. So if we look in, so if we look in source number 13. So I put this at the end. It's Rabbeinu Yonah on Avos. So he gives us a little bit of insight into what it means when Shmuel HaKatan used to say that we're not supposed to be happy at the downfall of the wicked. He quotes the Pasuk. He's constantly quoting the Pesukim from Mishlei. So why did he do that? So if you look in Numbers 13, Rabbeinu Yonah gives us some insight. And he says, Shmuel katan omer binfo oyivcha tismach uvikashla al yagel ibecha. So that was the Pasuk. Uma ba lahashmiinu, Shmuel katan bezeh. So he has a great question. What's he trying to teach us? Valo Pasuk shalim hu. So he's not like coming up with this on his own. He's just quoting a Pasuk. Ushlomo Amru. And Shlomo was the one who said it. So why is he taking credit for this idea when it's not really his? It's really just a pasuk. So what's he teaching us? Elarutu Lomar Shahya Ragil Shmuel Lomar Pasuk Zeh. So Shmuel would say this pasuk pretty often. Bipneshu Davar Hatzarech. It's very necessary. Uvne Adam Nichshalambo. So many individuals fall with regard to this idea. Ki Gambi Yosa Oyev Rasha. So even when the enemy is wicked, so you shouldn't be happy other than Hashem himself being happy, I guess. I think that's what he's saying. But you shouldn't be happy. Ritzoneinu lomar, meaning to say, ki zeh tzadik lo yismach b'mapeles harishayim. So this tzadik should not be happy at the downfall of the Rasha. Ach im kavana simchaso mipnei shemapeleso kavod shemayim. Even if your intent of happiness comes from the fact that you're happy in defending Kvod Shemayim. So he says openly that even if your happiness is that you're happy that this individual died because Kvod Shemayim is now restored, because this person was damaging towards Hashem, so even so you shouldn't be happy. Why? Lo mipnei sin'aso oso, not because you hate him. No, sorry, that's the end of the statement. He says, Achim kavana simchaso mipnei shemapaloso Kvod Shemayim hu v'lo mipnei sin'aso oso. Even if your happiness is tied to the Kvod Shemayim and not because you hate him. Even somebody who has very destructive actions. So if you're happy, so it causes great harm. Why is he happy? So why is he being happy here? He's like him. So this is what the pasuk is referring to. So Shmuel would say this all the time. Some have the girsa of the second pasuk, which is what we have in Avos. So then he goes on and he says, doesn't say his anger, that he moves the anger from one to the other. So he's teaching us a chiddush. So it's the onesh, the punishment to the person who's happy, is that he gets the onesh of the person that he's satisfied or he's happy about the downfall of that wicked person, so that onesh is befalls the person who's happy about him. But what's the flaw? What's the problem? So it seems like this. It seems like the Rabbeinu Yonah has the key point here. I think the main point is he says, "V'lamahu sameach v'inehu kamohu." It's like four lines up. Why is he happy? So he's like him. So what does he mean? I think what he means is that anytime there's a happiness when somebody else is being destroyed or somebody else is in a bad state, so there's a dissociation that occurs between you and that person. And it must be that, because if you really saw yourself in that other person, and you really identified yourself with that other person, so then it would be very difficult for you to feel happy. The emotion of happiness can only emerge when you witness the downfall of others, when there's a dissociation. And so Rabbeinu Yonah, quoting Avos, is saying a key idea, whereas the Rambam and the Gemara in Megillah is also saying a key idea. So we have a conflicting ideas. We have conflicting issues here. On the one hand, a person, the Torah says that a Jew is supposed to dissociate from the philosophy and the evil ideas of the non-Jew. And we see that by Haman. So we see that Mordechai says that by Haman, it's okay, you're supposed to tread on him, you're supposed to step on him. But by a Jew, when a Jew falls, you're not supposed to be happy. So why is that? What's the difference? So we see that there's a certain level of dissociation that's allowed when it comes to a non-Jew because they have a foreign philosophy. But when it comes to a Jew, we should feel an inherent connection to the Jew, and there shouldn't be a dissociation, a complete dissociation from another Jew. But the Rambam even goes further, and he says that when it comes to dissociating from an evil philosophy, from the philosophy of a Jew who decided to not keep mitzvos, or who's an apikoros, so we're supposed to be happy. Why? Because the happiness is an idea in our dissociation, our ability to not be drawn in by that philosophy, by that person, by that individual. And simcha, the happiness at their downfall, is a necessary component, or is an aspect, an element of our dissociation, of our ability to disconnect from that person, that evil philosophy. And we see that by Haman, and we see that also by the Jew, that it's not appropriate for us to mourn, to be misabel for somebody who's evil, somebody who didn't keep Torah, somebody who's a heretic, because then we're justifying their life. We're saying their life's okay. It indicates that there's a certain connection, a certain bond. But really, the Torah demands that we dissociate ourselves from those individuals, from people who have a foreign philosophy, a philosophy that's dangerous to us. And certainly a non-Jew like Haman, but even a Jew who has a foreign philosophy, we're supposed to dissociate completely, and we're not supposed to allow our emotions of mercy allow our emotions of chesed and kindness to permeate, because that would be wrong, that would be negative. But on the other hand, when we dissociate from others, and we don't see ourselves in others, which is also what we're saying is necessary, when it comes to being happy at the downfall of others, it's negative for us. Because as soon as you dissociate, you feel a certain element of superiority. Like, this can't happen to me. It's happening to them, but it can't happen to me. And that's also a negative, a flaw. So on the one hand, the Torah tells us that there's a positive to the idea of simcha at the downfall of Rishayim. But on the other hand, there's a negative. And there's a subtle line that's being drawn here. That on the one hand, we need to dissociate from the philosophy of evil, the philosophy, the antithesis of Torah. We need to dissociate, and we can't allow our emotions of mercy to come in, because once we do that, then we give credence to that type of life, to that type of individual. So Mordechai, he can't allow any emotions of mercy befall him with regard to Haman, because he can't allow it to affect his decision making. He has to dissociate from Haman, and we're commanded to dissociate from evil, and so too by the Jew. We can't give credence to the heretic's lifestyle. We can't say it's okay, he lived a good life, we're going to mourn, we're going to feel sad. We have to feel happy because there's an idea of dissociating ourselves and making sure that we're not connected to that individual. So that's a good, and that's a positive. But on the other hand, there's a downside to doing that, and that when you're happy, like I said, when you're happy, you dissociate, meaning you can't see yourself in the other person. If you could see yourself, then it would be very difficult to be happy. Imagine like seeing yourself. If you see yourself, you can't see yourself suffer. It's very difficult to see yourself suffer. And if you see your own self in another person, how could you be happy at their suffering? So the idea that Avos is expressing is that on the one hand, there's a positive and there's a perfection to being happy at the downfall of the wicked, in the sense that it dissociates us from the philosophy of evil, the philosophy that's harmful to us. But on the other hand, dissociation is not positive, because it makes us impervious to onesh, to punishment. We feel a certain sense of superiority, a certain sense of an inability to be affected by that person's onesh. So it's beautiful, because the Torah is telling us that bin foli vecha al tismach, there's a deep concept there, that on the one hand, that we must dissociate, but on the other hand, dissociation is harmful to us, and it could be harmful to us, and we have to be aware. That's what Shmuel Katan was saying, that on the one hand, we need to dissociate from evil, we need to dissociate from the evil individual, so that we don't give credence to their lifestyle, to their philosophy. But on the other hand, we can't allow that dissociation to affect us, to make us believe that we are impervious, that we can be blocked from that onesh. And in fact, that's what the end of the pasuk tells us, like Rabbeinu Yonah says, that you will be affected by that punishment, meaning a person thinks, when he witnesses and he dissociates from somebody else, he thinks there's a part of him that believes psychologically that he can't be affected by that same onesh. And he dissociates in that way. So that's a negative towards the person. So on the one hand, we have to dissociate, but on the other hand, the idea that Avos is telling us is that we have to recognize the danger of dissociation, that it's positive. There's a positive to dissociation. We're not connected to that philosophy. We can put down the other person in order and be happy at their downfall in order to separate us from a philosophy of evil and a philosophy that's connected to Torah and a philosophy that endangers Torah. But on the other hand, we have to be aware of the dangers of dissociation. That whenever you dissociate, even if it's with an evil person, there could be a harm to the individual who's sameach, who has simcha. And that's what Rabbeinu Yonah is saying. He's saying you're like him, meaning don't think that you're different than him, that you're not like him, that you can't be affected by the same type of onesh. But that often happens when you're happy and you witness the downfall of others. But now let's go back to the Gemara, the original Gemara that's in Sanhedrin. So the Gemara says that Hashem isn't happy at the downfall of Rishayim, and the idea is exemplified in the idea of the Mitzrayim. He says, "Ma'ase yadai tovin b'yam ve'atem omrim shira lefanai." So he says that the works of my hands are being drowned in the yam, and you're saying shira in front of me to the malachim. So what is that concept? What is that, an additional concept to the idea of not being happy at the downfall of the wicked? So I think there's one point that the Gemara is making, which is, I was thinking about this. So I was thinking about this in a more current events type of fashion. But when it comes to evil, we're witnessing evil, Bizman Azad, with ISIS is the most obvious example. So we tend to be happy when they're drone attacked by America and when they're destroyed and there's a happiness there. But on the other hand, whenever you witness, there's another idea in the Gemara, whenever you witness the destruction of others, even if the other person is evil, there has to be a dehumanization of that person. And there's examples of that. The example is, the most obvious example is the Nazis, Yimach Shemam, that they looked at the Jews as non-human, as subhuman. And only through that process of making the human being or limiting his value, only through that process, that mechanism, can one really get enjoyment or pleasure or satisfaction out of the destruction of others. And so too, the opposite. So we say that ISIS, they're animals. We say they're savages, but they're animals. And they should be destroyed. But what does it mean that they're animals? It means that we don't see them as human beings. We see them, even though they were born with bechira, with free choice, and they had human potential, but we don't look at them when we destroy them and we feel happiness. We don't look at them as human. It's difficult for us to look at them or view them in a human way, especially because of the idea of dissociation. And instead, we kind of limit the value of their humanity, and we say they're animals. So what's the idea of the Gemara? The idea of the Gemara is that we have to recognize that when we do that, it affects our ability to relate to Hashem properly. Why? Because they're still Ma'aseh Yadai. So the individuals that are evil, so they still, the idea is that Hashem still created humans with a certain potential, with a certain value, a certain potential. And when we look at a human, or when we view a human as a subhuman, as an animal, and that's what we do when we're Sameach B'Mapalason. So when we do that, we diminish the beauty of the creation of humanity, the beauty of the creation of mankind. And they're Ma'aseh Yadai. That's why the Medrash says, Ma'aseh Yadai Tovim B'Yam V'Atem Omrim Shira, meaning to say that when you diminish the humanity, the human element, the idea that humans were created in a unique way, in a beautiful way, which reflects on the greatness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so when you diminish that, that's diminished when man feels simcha, or when simcha is felt at the destruction of evil. So even though the person chose to be evil, and even though we recognize that, still there's a part of us that views them as non-human, as an animal. And we limit their humanity, we limit them in a certain way, and that affects, the idea of the Medrash is saying that affects our ability to praise Hashem, to relate to Hashem properly. It affects our idea of how Hashem created humanity in a perfect way. They're Ma'aseh Yadai, and we don't look at them as Ma'aseh Yadai anymore. So what's the idea of the Medrash? The idea of the Medrash is a philosophical concept. It's saying that, yes, we're supposed to be sameach. There are times when we're supposed to be sameach because we need to dissociate. On the other hand, we can't dissociate in a way where it's harmful to us and where we don't see ourselves in the other person. But on the last idea the Medrash is saying is that in the dissociation, there's another harm. There's another potential harm. And the harm is that we view the human being in a different light, and it affects, even if it's unconscious, even if it's slight, it affects our ability to appreciate the way in which man was created. And even though we believe and we know that man has free choice and he can destroy his life, and Hashem created man that way, but when we dehumanize a person, an individual, so it will affect, or it has some effect on our ability to praise Hashem, on our ability to really recognize the greatness of Hashem through the creation of humanity, through the creation of man. And that's why it says, Ma'aseh Yadai Tovim B'Yom. So even the evil person is a Ma'aseh Yadai. So even the evil person, there is some aspect in the creation of him that reflects positively on Hashem. And when we're Sameach at the downfall, so we lose that. We lose that idea. And that's why it's brought down by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It says HaKadosh Baruch Hu isn't Sameach, because the idea is that Simcha, it takes away from, or when a person's Sameach, he can't accept, he can't understand the idea of Ma'aseh Yadai. They're contradictory ideas. And I don't know if it's possible for a man to actually, because on the one hand, we have to feel Simcha at certain points, and I don't know if it's possible for us to actually overcome that. It's an idea that's built into our Simcha, that there's a part of us that must dehumanize, and it does affect our ability to relate to God in a positive way, to Hashem in a positive way. So I think we have a little bit more time. So just one last point. So how does this relate to Pesach? Of course, the Medrash itself is talking about Yetzias Mitzrayim and Tviya B'Yom and the idea that the Mitzrayim were destroyed. But how does this relate to Pesach in specific? So there's an idea in the Gemara that the Gemara says, why don't we say full Hallel on Pesach? So the one idea, the Gemara says in Archin, Daf Yud Amud Aleph, if you skip down, it's in source number 14, he says, Ushnei Yamim Tovim Shal Pesach, Ushnei Yamim Tovim Shal Tzeres. It's three lines down. The first 2 days of Pesach we say full Hallel, and the first 2 days of Shavuos, Maishna b'chag darminan kol yoma u'maishna b'pesach d'lo amrinan. So why do we say Hallel on Sukkos? Every day we say full Hallel, but on Pesach we don't say full Hallel. So we only say full Hallel on the first 2 days. So the Gemara says d'lo amrinan kol yoma d'chag chalukin b'korban asan d'pesach in chalukin b'korban asan. So the answer the Gemara gives is that by Sukkos each day you have a unique korban count, but on Pesach, every day was the same. So because every day is the same, and each day is not a unique day when it comes to korbanos, so therefore we don't say full Hallel on those days. But the Pesach of the Rav Kahana, this is the Medrash, which is also brought down in the Mishnah Berurah and the Aruch HaShulchan bring it down, gives a different reason. And it says like this, V'samachta b'chagecha. So if you look in source number 15, sorry, skip down a little bit, he says, Davar Acher, it's the last line. He says, Davar Acher, Lama ein ksiva sham simcha. So why by Pesach does it not say simcha? Bishvil shem mesu bo hamitrium. So he says, because of the fact that the mitrium were killed. The chena at motza kol shiva simeachag anu korin bahena sahalo. Aval be Pesach ein anu korin bahena sahalo el be yom tov arishon lelo lama kedamar shmuel bin fol oyivcha al tismach. So the idea is that the other source for not saying full Hallel and only saying half Hallel is this Medrash, this idea that because the Mitzrayim were killed, we recognize that in our Hallel. So we say, we only say half Hallel, we don't say full Hallel. So what's that idea? So again, the idea is that in being happy at the downfall of the wicked, we must diminish the humanity of the wicked. And in doing so, it affects our ability to relate to Hashem properly, to really praise Him fully, because we're losing the idea of Ma'aseh Yadai. It's like a contradiction to the idea of Simcha. So on the one hand, we have to feel Simcha. But on the other hand, there's an inherent inability or an inherent lack that emerges in our capability of giving praise to Hashem when we dehumanize anybody, even if it's an evil person. So that's the idea of singing half Hallel. So in source number 16 and 17, the Aruch HaShulchan and the Mishnah Berurah actually bring this down as the reason. And they quote this as a separate reason other than the Gemara. The Mishnah Berurah brings this down as the only reason. So it's really a pertinent and an important idea in throughout Pesach when we say Hallel that we should think about this concept, this point. So let me just summarize the ideas of the shir tonight. A little difficult with the last point, but let me just summarize. So the point of the shir, which is really to understand the downfall, how we should reflect or relate to the downfall of the wicked. And we saw in the Gemara that Hashem isn't happy, And we see that from the destruction of the Mitzrayim that he asked the Malachim not to sing Shira. So we said that Hashem doesn't have emotions. What's the purpose? Why isn't he happy? And what can we learn from this Medrash? So we see that there's contradictions throughout the Chazal. In some places it says, in Avos it says that we're not supposed to be happy at the downfall of the wicked. In Megillah it says that we are allowed to be happy at the downfall of the wicked as long as it's not a Jew. And then in the Rambam it says that we're even allowed to be happy at the downfall of a wicked Jew. And we see that from the fact that we're chayv to be sameach when a Jew who's not affiliated or a Jew who's an apikoros dies. So we have to understand how do we resolve all the contradictions. So we said that really when you're happy at the downfall of the wicked, you're dissociating. There has to be a process of dissociation that occurs. And there's a positive and a negative. The positive is that through dissociation, through separating yourself from others, and that's what happens when you're sameach, and it has to happen when you're sameach, so we separate ourselves from the philosophy of evil, the philosophy that's harmful to us. But on the other hand, when you dissociate and you can't see yourself in others, it's harmful because you view yourself as being unaffected or unable to be affected by the onus of others. And that's a negative. So the idea is that we have to be aware of that. But the Medrash in Sanhedrin is saying that there's another downside to being happy, that we have to be happy, and it's part of our nature to be happy at the downfall of wicked. But there's a downfall, there's a downside, and the downside is that it does have an effect on our ability to appreciate Hashem as a creator. Because as soon as you are happy at the downfall of the wicked, you must dehumanize. You can't see somebody, you can't be happy and watch somebody drowning and think of that person as a human being or think of the value of human life at the same time. It's just impossible. And that's what's referenced in the Medrash. It says, how could Hashem says, how could they sing when Masa Yadai are being Tovin? It's impossible to give praise, to be happy. How could you reflect positively on creation when you're witnessing the Masa Yadai, the work of my hands drowning? Meaning that happiness goes against that idea. Happiness at watching somebody drown, watching, even if it's a Mitri, goes against the value of humanity, the value and the perfection in the creation of human life, which is a very important idea in our relationship to Hashem. So on the one hand, we have to be happy. It's our nature to be happy. But on the other hand, we have to recognize the harm of dissociation, and also the philosophical impact in terms of our relationship to Hashem. And that's why on Pesach, we do say halal. We are still happy, but we recognize in a part of it, in the fact that we say half halal, that there's something missing, that even though we're happy, there's a part of us that can't relate, that in being happy at the destruction of others, is a part of us that is missing, and there's an aspect that's missing in terms of our ability to relate to Hashem fully, to relate to Hashem in the appropriate way. Okay, so tonight's shiur was, again, in memory of my daughter, Abby, who passed away, and so these ideas are definitely, hopefully, will be helpful in trying to understand more philosophy when it comes to Pesach. There's so many mitzvos and so much philosophy that emerges from Pesach, and I just want to share this with this shiur with everybody. Okay, so everybody have a good Shabbos. And hopefully we'll continue next week, okay? Thanks for calling in.